Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are live from Las Vegas as the NBA gets ready to kick off the 2022 Las Vegas Summer League. It is a balmy 110 degrees in Vegas. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to be in Paris? Not quite, but sacre bleu. We're going to have a show anyway. NBA Today starts right now.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews.
Cultured.
We start today with news out of the Brittany Griner trial in Russia. She pleaded guilty this morning to bringing hashish oil into Russia, telling a judge she did so, quote, inadvertently. And so for more on this story, I want to bring in our investigative reporter, TJ Quinn. TJ, how exactly is this playing out? What is the significance of Griner's guilty plea here?
Well, it's important not to look at it like you would a normal American criminal case. There was a recognition that this is a show trial. It's all a negotiation tactic for Russia to get the resolution that everyone expects, which is some kind of negotiation between the two countries, probably to trade her for somebody else. She was going to be found guilty. That was seen as a foregone conclusion. And they also knew that Russia was likely to demand some kind of admission of guilt from her before signing off on a deal to send her home. So the people I'd spoken to the last couple of weeks said the best strategy was probably go ahead and plead guilty. She's going to have to anyway. Now, the one thing that's going to be also alien to any American watching this, it doesn't mean the trial's over. Russian trials drag on a long time. They are still going to read the entire prosecution's case into the record, and she's not even going to be back in court again until next week. The case could go on for weeks and months.
Okay, so how exactly then will this development influence the negotiations in bringing Griner back to the United States?
The hope from her camp is that it's going to push things along a little bit, that it's a sign to Russia, hey, we're going to play ball. We're going to do what we need to help you save face, an old expression in foreign policy. You save my behind, I'll save your face. She wants to get her behind out of there. Russia, on the other hand, has a long history of taking trials like this and trying to make them look like legitimate processes when nobody else thinks that they are.
So, TJ, Brittany's wife, Sherelle Griner, she spoke at a rally last night, and it's been part of their strategy, the family strategy, as of recently, to be very vocal in all of this. How is that playing out with this trial?
It's really been something. They know that nothing they do, anything that happens in the U.S., is going to affect how Vladimir Putin or his government look at her case. What they want to do is put pressure on the White House to make a deal, which is why they made it public about delivering a letter from Brittany to President Biden on Monday. They were public about the phone call that President Biden and Vice President Harris made to Sherelle a couple days later. They want to see that continued pressure on the White House. Because they know that he's the one who can sign off on a deal.
You mentioned that phone call. That phone call was between, as you mentioned, the President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and Sherelle Griner after Sherelle had asked for an in-person face-to-face meeting. That phone call was in response to a letter that Brittany Griner specifically wrote to the President of the United States. Do you expect the President to have further contact with Brittany's family?
Well, I would imagine Brittany's family wants it. Now, they actually, a senior diplomatic official in Moscow delivered a letter from the president back to Brittany Griner this morning. What Sherelle Griner wanted was a meeting with the president. I mean, the phone call probably buys them a little bit of time. But somehow they have managed it to, in an incredibly busy U.S. news cycle. The president's spokesperson was asked about Brittany Griner every single day this week. They want to keep that pressure up. Mm-hmm. So while she may say that she was happy with that phone call, it's unlikely that's going to be the end of the engagement they want from the White House.
TJ, thank you so much for your reporting. We will continue to follow this story as it continues to develop. Thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. So Griner's trial on charges of taking hashish oil into Russia began last Friday. And as TJ mentioned, the next hearing, it's scheduled to take place 1 week from today on July 14th.
This was a season that had so much promise, and it all fell apart.
Toxic tragedy.
Armageddon.
No regrets. It happens. People want to have some hope of what may happen in the future, but it's hard for me to say.
How do you know
Durant has had enough?
When it's time to go,
requested a trade.
Run his course. You fell for the Porsche. You hop in the Porsche and get on the boat.
I can't worry about what people say. I just focus on me.
I'm built different, man. I feel different. Even chill different when I woo. Relax when I breeze past and I might blast in the future. When they find out that you lie.
We now welcome in senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. So, Woj, what stage are the Durant trade conversations in?
In my experience, Malika, there's two stages: the day a player requests a trade, and then the day he's traded. So sometimes it takes you looking back at the process to know how far into it you are. But certainly the Nets at this point, you know, they're engaged on a number of fronts for Kevin Durant deals. And, you know, a deal of this, of a player of this stature, typically they don't come together quickly. Now, if this trade request had been made prior to the draft and there was sort of the deadline of a draft and the ability to build a deal around picks in that window, it might have moved quicker. But now that we're in the offseason, training camp's still a couple months away. I think that buys the Nets certainly time to continue kind of canvassing the league. And, you know, you start to get into negotiations with teams. They don't always move quickly. The goal of the Nets to get as much as possible. The goal, obviously, of teams who want to trade for Kevin Durant is to give up as little as possible. And certainly that can grind things, to where it's not necessarily a day-to-day back and forth among teams. I do think getting to Summer League, you know, Sean Marks and, you know, you go through the list of other executives who are going to be in Las Vegas, most of them starting Thursday, Friday. I think the face-to-face can be helpful, especially when you're trying to put together more complicated deals that might require 3-4 teams.
Absolutely. So how closely are the Nets and Kevin Durant working together right now, if at all?
Yeah, Sean Marks, the Nets GM's, you know, he's in close contact, regular contact, I'm told, with Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman. And so they've got a good working relationship. I'm told they've continued to discuss, you know, different scenarios and discuss, you know, how they can figure out moving forward here. So I do think that dialogue with the Nets and Kevin Durant's rep, that's been the case here. In the days and time leading up to the trade request, and now since Kevin Durant asked out.
So what is the Nets' strategy here? When we're looking at the possible dominoes that can fall, right, one that continues to come to mind is Kyrie Irving. Is it possible that we could see Kyrie traded first?
It is possible, Malika, and obviously there's a much – you don't have as wide – of a swath of teams, as many conversations, not nearly as many going on for Kyrie Irving than you do Kevin Durant. And I think it's more isolated. The Nets have been engaged with the Lakers really here in the last week. And if they got to a place where there was a deal that made sense that the Lakers wanted to do, that Brooklyn wanted to do, then Brooklyn's got to measure the timing of it and how it would impact where they think they are with Kevin Durant. So the possibility that they could trade Kyrie Irving before Kevin Durant, it exists. There's also a possibility that they don't trade Kyrie Irving. That they don't find a deal as quickly as everyone might expect for Kevin Durant. Like, all of those things are still on the table. But I think certainly You've got to take them as two individual potential deals. And if you're going to trade them both, how do you get max value for both? The timing may land differently for either of them.
The timing may land differently. It is all about timing here. Woj, thank you so much. And we will see you very soon in Las Vegas, because that's where we are right this very second, in the Thomas and Mack Center for NBA Today. You can see practices going on behind us during our show here. Teams are going to be cycling through ahead of the first games getting underway. But welcoming in now Richard Jefferson and Matt Barnes. Thank you so much for hanging with me today, gentlemen. We just heard a whole lot from Adrian Wojnarowski. And what was interesting to me is the timing piece, right? The timing for the best deal for Kevin Durant might not be the same as the timing for the best deal for Kyrie Irving. What did you make of everything we just heard, Matt?
I mean, obviously, and as they should, the Nets are asking for a king's ransom for KD.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably one of the, if not the best player in his prime to ever ask to be traded. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like Woj mentioned, deals aren't coming as fast as they want and we end up seeing KD possibly starting the season in Brooklyn. And then on the flip side, I look at that, you know, if you're trading for Kevin Durant, you're going to have to give up so much. What is the team going to have left? Obviously, there's probably going to be a third and fourth team in there, but I'm thinking that the between the two main teams, if KD chooses to go to a team, they're going to have to give up so much to get him. What's going to be left when he gets there? So a lot of tough decisions to be made, and we'll just have to sit back and continue to speculate and enjoy.
Well, and they're both complicated for different reasons. Kyrie doesn't have as many places or probably suitors where Kevin Durant has damn near the entire league.
Right.
But this is what I would say to some NBA teams. I understand that you don't want to give away too much, but you're going to have to give away a lot. That being said, if you've got Kevin Durant on your team to start the season, it looks far better than if you trade for him at some point in time during the season. If you're giving up a lot to get Kevin Durant on your team, it's because you want to win a championship now or in the next two years. So for me, you want to give it up now, get him to his team, get him acclimated, do all the things that you need to do to make sure that you can start the season in the best possible way versus saying, well, we don't want to give up two swaps, so now Kevin Durant's not going to be on our team for 20 games or 15 games in the middle of the season.
Right, but I think the balance, though, is that making sure whatever it is you give up, Kevin still looks around at what's still there, and he says, okay, I feel good about going there because we can win.
Well, there's not going to be, you can't win-win in this situation.
But then that's why, you know, if you can't win-win in this situation, as Woj told us on the show yesterday, that's why this is so complicated, why we could either, one, see it drag out, or there's a possibility that as time and situations are jointly presented to the Nets and Kevin, Kevin looks around and says, I still feel like, because we all know that Kevin wants to win. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, that's what he wants. And so if it, and I'm not saying he does, but if what you're saying comes to fruition and the choices are, I feel like I could win better with the Nets than I could... Like, that's the balance.
And that's the one thing that I've seen from Kevin Durant. And I don't know him personally, but I will say this. In Oklahoma City, you know, after they, you know, lost to Golden State, he decided to leave, right? Because I think he wanted to just like, hey, I want to play that brand of basketball where everyone moves. He gets there. And then after a little bit of time with the Draymond situation, he's like, okay, this isn't just basketball anymore. I want to go someplace else. Now he goes to Brooklyn. And then all of a sudden, it seems like it's not just basketball anymore. It seems like there's a bunch of other things. So that's the reoccurring theme that I've seen with Kevin Durant is when it doesn't become just basketball, he doesn't really want much part of it. And I respect that.
Yeah.
And so if the Nets can get back to in some way saying like, hey, we just want to focus on basketball here and get rid of the distractions, then, you know, maybe they can convince Kevin. Maybe Kyrie is still on that roster.
Well, I think, I mean, that's the one thing you can knock Kevin for whatever reason you want, but at the end of the day, he wants to win and you know he's going to put his best out there
every
single time he steps on the floor. So you can say whatever you want about the other stuff, his decisions, his going dark on everyone, but the one thing we know about Kevin Durant is when he gets on that floor, he's going to give you his absolute most. So again, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But again, like I said, with winning being his top priority, teams are going to have to give up so much to get him. When he looks at that roster that he's possibly going to, can I win with this roster or do I have a better chance, like you said, at winning in Brooklyn? And we'll have to see.
Right. And I mean, I covered Kevin Durant in Brooklyn for 2 years. We have not spoken in this process. I wouldn't say we're especially close, but from being around him every day, that's sort of what I've noticed. It's about winning. And so what keeps making all of these trade scenarios that our insiders are coming up with and presenting to us that make sense maybe for one team don't necessarily make sense for Brooklyn or make sense for Kevin. And that's why this is such a difficult needle to thread here, with winning being the through line that they're trying to pull.
Well, the most important thing here is you're getting Kevin Durant for 4 years. Let's not just make it seem like, hey, we need to win today. It's like, no, we can say, it's like, hey, this is our core.
Absolutely.
And over the next 1 year, 2 years, we can add these pieces. We can add these pieces. And maybe in the last 2 years of your deal is when our team is going to be fully loaded.
He has to buy into that.
Agreed.
Plan, right?
Agreed.
Like, that's it. He has to be able to say, yes, cool. Because you don't make a trade and mortgage all this for Kevin Durant if you don't feel like Kevin Durant is going to come there, buy in, give you the time for the 4 years. And if he buys into that vision, and there are guys, there are men, there are general managers are so brilliant at doing that. Someone like Masai Ujiri selling Kawhi Leonard on a vision for 1 year, that there are people who can do that, but it's not everybody that can do that.
Really quickly, remember, LeBron James won in his second year in LA.
Yep.
He won in his second year in Cleveland. He won in his second year in Miami. So it's not just about showing up and saying this. You remember what LeBron James showed up with in LA and what it turned into. So Kevin Durant and his team have to have the vision of like, hey, this is might be what it is today, but this is what it can turn into.
As long as all those cards are on the table and they're all reading the tea leaves the same, that could be a beautiful thing, whether it's in Brooklyn or somewhere else. All right, still to come though on NBA Today.
Let's go.
How about Chet Holmgren? Did you guys see that? Oh, Chet, not Checkers. That's cute. Find out why last night he may have met his match though against the man. Did you notice I call him Gen Zebo? You'll see what I mean. Plus, Russell Westbrook in the news based on something his head coach said. Do not miss that shortly. And we'll be talking about the Pelicans in just a little bit because Zion, he spoke after his mega extension signing. NBA Today continues after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
Let's go.
I want it out.
Breaking news. Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren transitioning from the kennel to playing with the big dogs as the freshman center declared for the NBA draft.
I want it out. Run it.
What is a team getting when they draft you?
A team, when they draft me, they're getting a versatile player, you know, that's affecting winning. I think I can be a 50-40-90 player.
Okay, that's what
there
I want.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
What are your plans going into the NBA for us putting on weight? You know, although you had a
You can hang out with Perk for a week.
Nah, I want to know his individual goals, because if he tells us his goals and he accomplishes his goals, guess what? We can revisit this moment 15, 20 years down the line and say he said it today on NBA Today.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to shoot for anything less than, you know, the highest.
I want it out. Run it.
Oh, my God. He's got to come on, man. He's ready. He's about to be in a little baby video.
I had to do that for all my people that's probably watching.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the meaning behind the dice?
You got to hold the mic.
So, my bad.
I got you.
I'm big on betting on myself, so had to put on the dice.
If you could give yourself advice a year ago, what would it be?
Stay in the moment. Stay where your feet are, because, you know, it goes so fast.
Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga University.
Welcome back to NBA Today. So the Pistons, they're getting some practice time in behind us. I cannot wait to see Jaden Ivey on the floor. But I do want to talk a little bit about Chet Holmgren because he was in action last night after his initial just dazzling first game. Came back down to earth a little bit, Mark Spears. Let's take a look at exactly what went down here because he was kind of given all that he could handle, Richard.
Yeah. Ooh. 275 pounds. That's more to handle than most NBA players. Me and Matt right now, I'm 235, 240.
I'm 240. I don't want no part of
that.
Don't ask me my weight. No,
he left you out of it, big fella. Left you out of it.
Hey, this is a light-skinned Z-Bo. I love it. An undrafted player that really is taking a chance at every opportunity to let everyone know they made a mistake by not picking him up, but just pure butte strength and skill. I love it.
That's the part that I think is people are glossing over is that skill.
Yes.
His skill is extremely high. And I'll say this. I don't know what his conditioning is, but I think if you look at different guys that have changed their body and become stronger, more physical, he can be a real problem.
Well, the Grizzlies, Desmond Bane and Ja Morant, you can see he was there at the game. They loved it. Look at the gift that they put up. I mean, come on, guys. This was the concern, though, coming in about Chet Holmgren. I know Jay Billis said, don't let his frame fool you. He is tough. And by the way, offensively, he was still getting buckets last night.
Yeah, no, you can't stop him from scoring. He's got the length. And again, when you compare him to Kevin Durant and that size and that length, if you're not right there, and we already know that's a gimme right there, anything around the bucket.
And I think his ability to make plays for his teammates.
Yeah.
I think that's an underrated skill of his. But you've seen him in the first game pulling up in transition at three, his ability to pretty much jump from almost the paint and block a three-point shot. And again, I'm not really worried about Lofton backing him down. As we were talking off air, there's probably five guys in the league that can do that. So it's not going to be an every night occurrence where people are just beating Chet up. I like Chet's odds in this game.
Well, he showed out through two games, right? Put up 23.6 blocks, 4 3-pointers in the first game against Utah, and then he had a double-double last night. Hey, do you think, Richard, he's going to get a triple-double with blocks at some point?
I think he should, because there's going to be teams that aren't intelligent enough to figure that out. But yeah, look, over an 82-game stretch, I think that those should be one of his goals. You shouldn't have a lot of individual goals as far as statistics, but if you want to be the type of presence, he should be like, I want to get double-digit blocks. No different than a guard is like, I want to get double-digit assists or steals or something along those lines.
Bringing in Mark Spears, our senior writer for Anscape. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. Mark, what's your takeaway? Watching two games of him play, now we've seen a little bit of not quite NBA action, but NBA-adjacent action through Summer League.
Well, I did also get to spend some time with Chet during last season. He's an interesting cat from Minneapolis. Ate a lot of Jamaican food, has some swag to him, with a diverse group he grew up with. And so you could kind of see that from him. But I asked him after the draft, what does the spacing in the NBA do for him? So I think offensively, it does a lot. It gives him the ability to get a shot off, and he could take it off the dribble, and it's not like college where they're like packing in the paint. So I think offensively, he's going to be scary. He's kind of like Dirk, not going to be able to stop him. KD, a tall guy shooting like that. The problem is what you saw with Lofton. Just when people are going to have to punish him on the other end.
Yeah.
In college, at times he had trouble getting in foul trouble. He's tougher than you think. He's a great rebounder. But again, I think when you see that Lofton film, that's going to be what people are going to use to try to abuse him on the defensive end.
But we were talking about it in the break, right? When you say things like, oh, well, can he guard Joel Embiid? Can he guard Nikola?
Who can? No one can. True. I don't want to guard those dudes right now.
Nobody. Right now, but in your prime, you'd be signing up?
Yeah, because in my prime, they had to guard me, too. In my prime, they had to guard me, too. But look, those guys are next level. I just look, when you look at him, there's very few guys that are built like Kenny Lofton Jr. There's Zion. There's very few guys that can do that. So if you're like, hey, there's about 10 to 12 guys that he might have trouble guarding, that's not a lot. That's not a lot.
But
and
then
they're
going
to have trouble on the other side.
And also, exactly. Sometimes your best defense is your offense. So they're going to have to try to figure out a way to guard him as well. So again, you know, as we said, there's a handful of guys in the league. Probably we can count on two hands that are going to be able to do that to anybody, and those guys can't be guarded by anybody, period. So again, I don't make too much of this situation. Obviously, it doesn't look good, and the fact that he's frail and that was everyone was talking about is probably a talking point, but I wouldn't worry about that.
But that's what Summer League's about, right? It's sort of figuring out what your strengths are, how you're going to match up against some of these guys, and being able to use your strengths, like you mentioned, if it's his offense, whatever the case may be, because again, after Summer League games, I'm always telling myself, just don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Chill out.
I don't have to tell tell myself that.
I thought Nikola was kidding. remember Nicholas Skidishvili?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to be a superstar after Summer League.
No, I never thought.
And you learned that.
And Avery Johnson said, Mark, that's Summer League.
That's Summer League. Don't.
Well, that's the thing that I don't think that people understand. And Rich and I were talking about this on the way over. Unfortunately, about 90% or maybe more of these guys won't be on an NBA roster next year. So it's really hard to gauge the type of talent night in, night out in a Summer League game that you've seen these young high draft picks play against, because the guys they're playing against won't necessarily be in the league, which is unfortunate next year.
The good sign is that this is a step higher than college,
yep.
Right? So this is better than college. So to see him come out here and play at this level, I think everyone knows he's a player, but it's good to kind of see that reaffirm. Like, oh, he's gonna block shots. Do whatever you want, big fella.
Did you button up one more button, though?
Well, you know, it wasn't shirt in the way I wanted it to shirt. See, this thing was flopping, and, you know, it's Vegas.
Hey, when Matt Barnes was a rookie, he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Rocky Mountain Review, and they didn't have room for him on the bus. So the trainer, Max Benton, asked the rookie, Matt Barnes, if he could ride with me.
And did you
give him a ride? Yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to say.
Learned about his pos being from San Jose, too.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, he kicked. He didn't have room for him on the bus.
That was 20 years ago.
Hey, Matt, you always will have a seat in our car as we ride over to the arena, even if we have to kick out Richard.
Yeah.
Always have a seat.
All I'm saying is Malika got me on a poster, and I'm forever indebted to you.
Okay. And not because you were posterized. Just to be very clear, that wasn't like posterizing me. That was a promotion for the show. Still to come, though, on NBA Today. Mark, please stick around because you had some very interesting reporting come out today. Do not go anywhere, Laker Nation. We've got not one, but two reporters joining us next for some Westbrook news. I like this music. Plus, Zion, he clears the air after signing his mega extension. What he said that you need to hear. I'm talking to you, small market fans, and wait until you see what Sabrina Ionescu did last night. Hit, she went off, and Matt Barnes was there to witness it. Stay tuned. NBA Today rolls on after this.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Could we see Kyrie Irving also be on the move?
The Lakers, they're willing certainly to take the risk that comes with Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving is telling everybody he plans on going to L.A., meaning the Lakers, as soon as he possibly can.
This could be the pathway to get off of Russell Westbrook.
The Lakers are desperate. The problem is the trade that makes sense is Russell Westbrook. Okay, that's great. The Lakers fans are in tears. But it doesn't work on the books. It's going to have to sit and wait for the Durant situation to play out, whether that takes 3 days or 3 weeks.
Welcome back to NBA Today and Viva Las Vegas, baby. NBA Today will be in Sin City for the next 2 days from Summer League as the Pistons are wrapping up their practice right behind us. But I would like to spend a little bit of time in the Western Conference as we welcome in our reporter covering the Lakers, Dave McMenamin, still hanging with Mark Spears and Matt Barnes. But Dave, what is the latest that you can tell us surrounding any possible trades that involve Russell Westbrook?
Well, the Lakers are going to be bringing their Summer League contingency out to Las Vegas. That includes Rob Pelinka. And Rob Pelinka will be able to have a face-to-face conversation with Sean Marks of the Brooklyn Nets. And they can discuss things like, are we going to be able to put together a deal here? And are we actually getting your best offer yet? You know, has it just been positioning from both sides? Can we actually come down to brass tacks and figure out a deal here? If the Lakers can't figure something out with Kyrie, if that's not feasible, they're going to have to move on because their roster is incomplete. They are still missing shooting with the current group. They introduced all the new guys yesterday. You know, Thomas Bryant brings some shooting as a stretch five, and obviously Lonnie Walker at times has hit around 40% in his career, but they need more. And Rob Pelinka and the Lakers brass believe that they can acquire that via trade. And whether that not be the major trade in Kyrie Irving, perhaps you call up the Indiana Pacers and see about Buddy Hield, who they almost traded for last year.
Right.
How about Eric Gordon in Houston, who will be in a rebuilding situation, could be part of a more competitive team. Those are some of the things they're going to look at. But the first domino, they got to figure out if Kyrie's realistic or not.
Oh, and we know that shooting around LeBron James, that tends to be something that works. But they also have a new head coach in Darvin Ham, and you had a chance, Mark, to spend some time with Darvin, chat with him. What is he saying about how his coaching style could pair with, or maybe how he would use Russell Westbrook if he is still on the roster?
Well, they're BFFs right now. They're talking on the phone, they're texting, they're having lunch and dinners together. And he said, man, don't count them out. He has a clear plan for him to push his energy. He also expects him to be a starter. He loves Russell Westbrook. But I said, well, what about the other chatter? I know he's heard about Kyrie and all those things, and obviously he can't talk about other players, but he said he doesn't pay attention to that or listen to that. He watches the History Channel.
Well, he falls asleep to the History Channel or watches the History Channel? I mean, but
depends on what history it is.
See, there you go. The thing is, though, Matt, that for a coach, you have to look at who is on the roster. You can't necessarily fully go into planning for the hypothetical moves that could be made. What is ideal when you're looking at if Russell Westbrook, as you're reporting, Mark, is going to be a starter, what is the role that would be ideal for him to play if the Lakers want to not just win it, get back into the playoffs? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, I think if the dust settles and Russ ends up being here, and I think that's what Darvin Ham's focus is. Obviously, he's on the team now. You don't know what's going to happen, so we're assuming that Russ is going to be there. But sometimes, as Mark touched on, you need a coach that's able to push these guys' buttons, and Darvin Ham could possibly be that coach that can re-motivate Russ, have a conversation with Russ, kind of tell him what he sees and what he feels like his best possible roles. We all know Russ is a very confident, sometimes stubborn, hard-headed guy, but at the same time, when you respect where the voice is coming from, whether that be a coach or an older player, sometimes you change your tune. So if the dust does settle and the Lakers are with Russell Westbrook, it's not a terrible thing again, because I feel like maybe Darvin Ham can be that one guy that really gets into him and has him back to playing, not necessarily who he was in OKC, but something suitable for his age and what helps this team the most.
And Matt, it's a really savvy move by Darvin because of the many things that went wrong for the Lakers last year. The personal relationship between Frank Vogel and Russell Westbrook wasn't there.
Right.
Yep. And so Darvin, who knows if Russell's going to be on the team, but if he is, Darvin's already laying out that path to make things work.
Well, and in Milwaukee, that was one of the things. Players respected Darvin Ham so very
and
much.
And he keeps it 100, 1,000, 1 million.
Every minute of every
like
day of the year.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, he's wearing them because we need to get Mark Spears out of here. He's got some big
wedding
plans.
Crasher.
Wedding crasher.
Congratulations,
so
Cody Woods.
We'll let you go to Cody Woods' wedding, Mark. We appreciate the time here on NBA Today. But still to come, Mr. Zion Williamson, he signed a mega extension. So from one Western Conference team to another, we'll be talking the Pelicans. That is next. What he said, do not miss that.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ionescu, that's what she does so well.
You know I'm a beast. You know I'm a beast.
Ionescu just needs a little bit of space.
She's almost on the A of arena. Just deliver it in the right place at the right time.
She gets the assist on that one. Give her the triple-double. Her second triple-double on the season.
I was just trying to do everything I can to help this team win.
Oh, man, Sabrina Ionescu, she put up 31 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists against the Aces in the Aces' house on Wednesday, becoming the first woman in WNBA history with a 30-point triple-double. That is just incredible. Matt, you were sitting courtside for the entire thing. What'd you think?
Very impressive. First of all, the energy in this arena was electric last night. It was my first Aces game, and Aces had control pretty much the entire game until the fourth quarter. They started walking them down, and Sabrina did everything possible from making shots to diving on the floor, to finding her teammates, to getting crucial defensive rebounds, to bring her home, to will her team to win. But just, you know, the first 30-point triple-double in WNBA history, salute to Sabrina. But it was a special night, and she definitely matched.
The thing that's, okay, the triple-double, the 30-point, the fact that she had zero turnovers. That's
some, like, CP3 stuff.
Yeah, that's not many NBA players have done 30 points, 10 rebounds, and zero turnovers. So when I see that, that means there's a efficiency there, there's usage there, there's even fatigue. Normally, if you're having a score, you're getting other people involved, you're doing all of these things, sometimes fatigue happens. You could dribble the ball off your
foot. I didn't see her sit down one time last night and cut you off.
And that's what's so impressive, is to see somebody play at that level and almost have, that's almost like a flawless, perfect game, first player with no turnovers and a triple-double.
Well, and then she had some sauce on it too, because my favorite part is when she just like waved bye to the crowd. I was like, oh my God, because this place, I mean, it was
rocking last night.
It was
rocking.
Rocket. I just, the goodbye.
The Dame Lillard.
A little bit of Dame Lillard, OKC vibe to
so
it.
I so open there.
Right. The one person you don't want to leave gets the most open.
I mean, she took over that game. Sabrina, she'll be in action this weekend at WNBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago. And on Saturday on ESPN, we'll have the three-point contest, the skills challenge. That's at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. And then Sunday is the 18th annual All-Star Game, and it's on ABC at 1 o'clock Eastern. Both are also available on the app, so you can watch it anywhere. More NBA Today coming up after the break.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We are live from Las Vegas as the NBA gets ready to kick off the 2022 Las Vegas Summer League. It is a balmy 110 degrees in Vegas. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to be in Paris? Not quite, but sacre bleu. We're going to have a show anyway. NBA Today starts right now.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews.
Cultured.
We start today with news out of the Brittany Griner trial in Russia. She pleaded guilty this morning to bringing hashish oil into Russia, telling a judge she did so, quote, inadvertently. And so for more on this story, I want to bring in our investigative reporter, TJ Quinn. TJ, how exactly is this playing out? What is the significance of Griner's guilty plea here?
Well, it's important not to look at it like you would a normal American criminal case. There was a recognition that this is a show trial. It's all a negotiation tactic for Russia to get the resolution that everyone expects, which is some kind of negotiation between the two countries, probably to trade her for somebody else. She was going to be found guilty. That was seen as a foregone conclusion. And they also knew that Russia was likely to demand some kind of admission of guilt from her before signing off on a deal to send her home. So the people I'd spoken to the last couple of weeks said the best strategy was probably go ahead and plead guilty. She's going to have to anyway. Now, the one thing that's going to be also alien to any American watching this, it doesn't mean the trial's over. Russian trials drag on a long time. They are still going to read the entire prosecution's case into the record, and she's not even going to be back in court again until next week. The case could go on for weeks and months.
Okay, so how exactly then will this development influence the negotiations in bringing Griner back to the United States?
The hope from her camp is that it's going to push things along a little bit, that it's a sign to Russia, hey, we're going to play ball. We're going to do what we need to help you save face, an old expression in foreign policy. You save my behind, I'll save your face. She wants to get her behind out of there. Russia, on the other hand, has a long history of taking trials like this and trying to make them look like legitimate processes when nobody else thinks that they are.
So, TJ, Brittany's wife, Sherelle Griner, she spoke at a rally last night, and it's been part of their strategy, the family strategy, as of recently, to be very vocal in all of this. How is that playing out with this trial?
It's really been something. They know that nothing they do, anything that happens in the U.S., is going to affect how Vladimir Putin or his government look at her case. What they want to do is put pressure on the White House to make a deal, which is why they made it public about delivering a letter from Brittany to President Biden on Monday. They were public about the phone call that President Biden and Vice President Harris made to Sherelle a couple days later. They want to see that continued pressure on the White House. Because they know that he's the one who can sign off on a deal.
You mentioned that phone call. That phone call was between, as you mentioned, the President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris and Sherelle Griner after Sherelle had asked for an in-person face-to-face meeting. That phone call was in response to a letter that Brittany Griner specifically wrote to the President of the United States. Do you expect the President to have further contact with Brittany's family?
Well, I would imagine Brittany's family wants it. Now, they actually, a senior diplomatic official in Moscow delivered a letter from the president back to Brittany Griner this morning. What Sherelle Griner wanted was a meeting with the president. I mean, the phone call probably buys them a little bit of time. But somehow they have managed it in an incredibly busy U.S. news cycle. The president's spokesperson was asked about Brittany Griner every single day this week. They want to keep that pressure up. So while she may say that she was happy with that phone call, it's unlikely that's going to be the end of the engagement they want from the White House.
TJ, thank you so much for your reporting. We will continue to follow this story as it continues to develop. Thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today. So Griner's trial on charges of taking hashish oil into Russia began last Friday. And as TJ mentioned, the next hearing, it's scheduled to take place 1 week from today on July 14th.
Who am I? I'm Benedict Mathurin.
Ben Mathurin is a legit star player.
Here comes Showtime. Mathurin, superb.
His stock is raising, folks. Now, that's a thing of beauty. You've got to say, wow, that was impressive.
Oh, Mathurin wrapping it.
Woo! With the sixth pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Indiana Pacers select Benedict Mathurin.
He dripping. You said it was raining outside.
You gotta get an umbrella for that. He was the sixth overall pick to the Indiana Pacers just a couple of weeks ago, and now he is here on NBA Today. Mr. Ben Mathurin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you being here. We're in Las Vegas for the Summer League. Is it still surreal to you? You're sitting here in your Pacers warm-up. You just came from practice. Is this experience still surreal for you?
I wouldn't say it's still surreal to me. Draft night happened 2 weeks ago, and I knew Summer League was right around the corner, and I'm really pretty excited to play Summer League.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the last time you were in Las Vegas, he just scored a casual 27 points. Yeah, we won't do that.
No, real quickly, can I thank you though? Because after y'all lost at UCLA, Matt was texting me, he was posting stuff on social media, talking all that nonsense. So when y'all got to get back, I appreciate that.
So does playing in Vegas, does that mean there's some special juju that's still here for you? for Summer League?
Hope so. Maybe. It might be.
There you go. All right. Well, I can't have you here and not ask you about it. A couple of weeks ago, you said about LeBron James, I think he's the best player to ever play in the game, but me coming into this league, I'm not going to say that anybody is better than me. How do you reflect on that now?
I mean, this is pretty the way I wanted to say it before. I really had to clarify my comment. Everybody came at me, but like you said, you know, I'm a rookie coming to the league. I won't let anybody, you know, I won't say anybody's better than me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to go out there and people gonna have to show me that they're better than me. So.
Well, I showed it to him. I showed him, and I was like, is this, what do you think of this? And I'm lying because he didn't respond to my text. Like I said, he didn't respond to me. But you're not lacking confidence. You sat up here and you're like, who's the greatest Wildcat ever? And I'm sitting here like, oh, you know, Sean Elliott. You're like, no, it's me. And you're like, well, then who's the greatest zero? Your confidence, how much of that has gotten you to this point? Because we're all confident individuals, but like the irrational confidence.
Oh, no,
like,
it's rational.
No. You have to have irrational confidence. And I say that in a positive way. Do you think that that confidence is something that's going to keep pushing you, trying to work so that you can back up these statements?
For sure. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up, I always wanted to be the best at everything I was doing. I just never let anybody tell me I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So, and I never let, you know, everything I used to do, I used to prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to back up my things, like you said, but also learning.
Yeah. Is there anything off of the court? I'm curious. This, we know that when you're competitive like this, it doesn't just extend to basketball. It extends to every little thing you do. Is there other things that you can think of that you're like, oh, no, like no one can beat me at?
Yeah, I mean, it's just me as a person. I just think. I'm the best at everything I can do.
Yeah.
If we drink
I love it.
A cup of water, I'm gonna make
you're
sure I finish
faster.
Before.
You're gonna do faster?
Yeah, it's pretty much like this.
See, there you go.
I love that kind of confidence as a former player and just as someone older. I love when younger players bring this kind of energy to the game because I think it's needed. And obviously, you know, you're gonna raise some antennas and everyone's gonna wanna see what you can do. So that's gonna put you on a spot where we know you'll perform only in Summer League. But what are you looking forward to once the season comes?
Pretty much just, you know, have an impact already, you know, bringing the team to a different level. You know, Pacers has been one of my favorite team all time.
Okay.
Just putting double zero on my back, Mathurin representing myself, but also the team. I'm just looking forward to have a lot of wins and just have an impact already.
Any players or teams you're looking forward to playing? Anyone in particular? I know everybody.
We already said one.
Outside of Bron. Anybody else?
I'm not going to say anything right now. Everybody will come. But
you learned.
I'm really excited to play against, you know, a lot of rookies and a couple players in the NBA. Right.
I am curious, though, someone like Draymond Green, right, who plays with so much confidence, he says that he remembers the name, and obviously he was picked much, much later than you were in the second round, but he remembers the name of every single player that was picked before him, and he wanted to say, hey, just making sure everyone knows, like, I know this, and I'm going to bring my best, especially against these types of folks. Are you that type of person?
For sure. I mean, you know, five guys were drafted ahead of me. I know exactly who was drafted ahead of me. You know, I just keep it in my mind, and every time I get the chance to step on the court, it's another opportunity to, you know, to prove myself.
Ben Mathurin, right. Thank you so much for joining us here on NBA Today, and just be glad that Richard Jefferson is not refereeing one of your games. We appreciate the
time.
Who
said I'm not? Who said I'm not?
I said you're not.
Okay.
Thank you.
This was a season that had so much promise, and it all
a complete
toxic tragedy.
Armageddon.
No regrets. It happens. People want to have some hope of what may happen in the future, but it's hard for me to say.
How do you know
Durant has had enough?
When it's time to go,
requested a trade.
Run his course. You fell for the Porsche. You hop in the Porsche and get on the boat.
I can't worry about what people say. I just focus on me.
I'm built different, man. I feel different. Even chill different when I walk inside. Relax when I breeze past and I might blast on the future. When they find out that you lie.
You're watching NBA Today, and we are all still watching Kevin Durant and how that may continue to unfold. Obviously, Kevin Durant requested a trade about a week ago to Josiah directly, is what our Adrian Wojnarowski reported. He joined us earlier when we were on ESPN News, and he said something interesting, Matt, about timetables. And the timetable, he said, for Kyrie Irving and when we could see a Kyrie Irving deal go down, what the best deal may be for him could be different than the timing for a best Kevin Durant trade. So hypothetically, we still could see Kyrie be traded first, or one be, or Kevin be traded first, or neither be traded at all. How do you digest all of that?
Well, we know timing is everything. And, you know, I think obviously Kevin Durant is really holding up the whole free agency movement. Everyone is kind of keeping their cards close to their chest because they want to be in a position to hopefully land a player like Kevin Durant. It'll be interesting, though, because, you know, Brooklyn's going to ask for a king's ransom to get Kevin Durant, as they should. And the way I look at it, if they are able to get what they feel is sustainable for KD, what's going to be left on the team he's going to? Does he feel like, hey, I can win with, although we traded a lot of guys to get me, I feel like within this locker room can still win? Or do you look at, okay, there's still a lot of talent here in Brooklyn, and possibly could it be, you know, fixed over time? So we don't really know that, and we're going to have to sit back and wait and see.
And look, I don't think Kevin Durant needs to win another championship. I think another championship for him is important, but I don't think he needs it. We already know who he is. He's Kevin Durant. But the one thing that I want to focus on is that when you look at wherever he goes, you've got him for 4 years. You can't just say, hey, we got this. And I know when you get Kevin Durant, you feel like there's this pressure. Obviously, the Nets felt it, the Golden State Warriors, even OKC. When he's on your team, you feel a pressure to win now. But you can look at it, it's like, hey, maybe this is something that we can build. So what you show up for, if maybe they have cap space, if maybe they can lure other free agencies. When I look at players, and again, we can use LeBron James because he's the one player that we can say is of the same caliber, won a championship in his second year in Miami, second year in Cleveland, second year in LA. So they still have to have a vision that, like, hey, if I show up in a place, it's not just like right now. This is for the future. This is for multiple years. And I think that just adds a complication. Plus, to Matt's point, when he's talking about, hey, it's holding up everything, because there is a third team, I believe, that can get some stuff and can get successful just because they're a part of it. And they're like, hey, we're going to hold to see what we get.
Well, the important part, though, if that timeline isn't necessarily the minute that Kevin Durant gets to a new team, it's having him buy into that vision. And we've seen some brilliant basketball minds, some brilliant roster constructors like a Masai Ujiri be able to sell Kawhi Leonard on, well, we can do this in 1 year, and even if it's a one-year rental, which it turned out to be, we can win and you're off the hook and that's it. But Kevin has to buy into that. Whatever, if it's not going to be in year one, because we talked about this earlier. I covered Kevin Durant for 2 years. I wouldn't purport to know him well, but one thing I do know from being around him is how much he cares about winning.
Right.
And so he just has to buy into that vision, and so do the Nets on what they're getting in return.
Yeah. Matt. Well, I definitely think that if Kevin is to leave the Nets, he's going to go to a situation he definitely believes in, because I feel like he doesn't really want to leave another team, and that's just my opinion. But at the same time, you know, Richard said, you know, you got to see the big picture, and it could take some time. The media, the world, we don't give Kevin Durant time. You know what I mean? So when he lands somewhere, we're going to expect greatness, and we're going to expect a championship within the first, you know, year or two, which is sometimes could be unfair. So it'll be interesting to see, again, if he lands somewhere he feels feels like he can win, or if the Nets don't find anything that they feel is suitable for their team, don't be surprised if he starts the season in Brooklyn.
Well, there you go. But we know that when the GMs get here to Las Vegas, that's when they'll be having
face-to-face
these discussions.
Is a little different.
Face-to-face, it gets a little different. It also gets a little different when these guys, the prospects that are warming up behind us, when they get in the gym. Because tonight, the NBA 2K23 Summer League is back for another year. And that will mean Paolo Banchero and the Magic taking on Jabari Smith and the Rockets at 10 Eastern. And then Shaedon Sharpe and the Trailblazers, they take on Jaden Ivey and the Pistons. Who are you most excited to see?
This crap stable.
I want to see Richard referee this week.
Lord. None of us want to see that, but we're all going to be forced to. NBA Today will continue from Las Vegas tomorrow.
Are you going to play crap?
That's going to do it for us.
Play craps with us?
Yeah, I will.
All right, let's go. You're